It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, the last time that we were together, we continued our study in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 12. And as we looked in chapter 12, along towards the end of the chapter, we saw how that Peter was put in prison because he was preaching the word of God. Now, James had already been killed by Herod, and Herod was waiting to kill Peter. Well, he was going to wait, and Herod was, until after the high day, the Passover, was finished before he killed Peter, so he put him in jail to wait. And the angel of the Lord came at night and set Peter free. Well, and Peter went to the place that the believers were gathered together, and he told these people, "You go tell other people what has taken place and that I'm set free." He said to go tell James what had taken place. Well, once again, this could not have been the James that was killed. This had to be James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Herod was displeased with all of this, and he actually killed the guards who were guarding Peter because to him they had just let him go, but he had them killed. And then we go ahead and read, and we saw this last time in Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 23. It says, "And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a god, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost." We see one day Herod was sitting on his throne, all dressed up in his royal robes, and he gave a wonderful speech. And when the people heard it, they shouted and said, "It is the voice of a god, and not of a man." Well, Herod did not stop the people and say, "Wait a minute, you are all wrong. I'm not a god. I'm just a man." Herod did not give God the glory, but gave himself the glory, according to Acts chapter 12 and verse 23. And the Bible says, because he gave not God the glory, he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. We need to give God the glory in everything that we do, especially as saved people. We need to let people know that God has saved us and we are on our way to heaven, and that they too can be saved just like we are and just like we have been saved. They too can call upon the Lord and he'll save them. Well, as we continue on here in the book of Acts chapter 12, we see that persecution takes place here. The church had growing pains in those early days, but in spite of or because of the persecutions that took place, the word of God grew tremendously. Well, this means that the number of believers increased tremendously as well. In Acts chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, it says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Well, God took care of James. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says he was with the Lord. And we read that, and we'll read it again now where it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." James had been killed, but now he was with the Lord. We also see that God took care of Peter as he has done for many, including us. He's taken care of us. Psalm chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "This poor man cried and said, Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." That's us. That's those of us who are saved. And we also see that God took care of Herod. And we see that he gave up the ghost. The worms ate him. He gave up the ghost. Well, Psalm 94 and verse 1 says, "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself." Psalm 94:3, "Lord, how long shall the wicked How long shall the wicked triumph? And then Psalm 94 and verse 23, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Once again, sin costs. And in this case, the sin of not glorifying God cost Herod his life. And he, no doubt, is in hell today crying and asking God to get him out of there, and he would give him the glory, but it's too late. Herod sealed his fate by not receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, now as we look on, we see, once again, things are happening. And when we look back in Acts chapter 10, we learn that in the city of Caesarea, Cornelius and other Gentiles heard the word of God that was preached by Peter, and they believed it and were saved. In Acts chapter 11, we learned that a great number of Gentiles in Antioch believed the gospel and were saved. Well, God wanted the good news of salvation to go to other cities as well. Other Gentiles, and Jews too, needed to hear the gospel message. The believers in the city of Antioch wanted the same thing God wanted. They wanted to send forth God's message of salvation to others. Now, as these believers prayed and looked for God's will, the Holy Spirit set apart two men, Barnabas and Saul. God had a great work for these two men to do. Let's take a look at these two men. The two men sent, Barnabas and Saul. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The people were told to set them apart. And the two men, we see in, according to Acts chapter 13 and verse 4, they were sent by the Holy Ghost. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. See, the Lord Jesus once told his disciples, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. God sends forth the workers into his harvest field. And God used the church at Antioch to send these two men on their way. They prayed for them, and they kept praying for Paul, Saul, and Barnabas. Well, the believers in Antioch had a part in this great work. The believers fasted, they prayed, laid hands on the apostles. And Acts chapter 13 and verse 3 says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Well, this laying on of hands communicated the following. Barnabas and Saul, we know that God has called you and set you apart for this work, as they would possibly be saying to Paul and Saul and Barnabas. We are putting our hands on you because we are identifying with you in this work. And we want you to know that we will be praying for you and asking God to bless your ministry. Well, God's laborers and workers for this important mission that we're reading about were Barnabas and Saul. But there was another man who came along to be a helper. Another helper, John Mark. Acts chapter 13 and verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. See, this was the same man who later wrote the Gospel of Mark. Mark was actually the cousin of Barnabas. You read about this in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Well, what about the missionary journey? The first missionary journey lasted about a year and a half. This would be Barnabas and Saul on the journey. Well, the missionary team traveled hundreds of miles by sea and by land. And when we think of this, stop and think, they did not have the traveling facilities and means that we have today. This would have been very hard, a hard trip, a hard journey for these men to undertake. Well, notice the island of Cyprus. The missionaries began their journey by boarding a boat, and we're going to talk about now how they traveled right now. They journeyed by boarding a boat and sailing to the large island of Cyprus. Barnabas knew this island well because Cyprus had been his home, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. Acts chapter 13 and verse 5 says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. This would be their first stop, Salamis. Now, a synagogue was a place where the Jews would assemble together to pray and to read the scriptures. And usually when Saul and Barnabas entered a city, they would stop first at the synagogue and preach Christ to the Jews. Well, why would they do this? I thought they were saved. They would not go and be with the Jews. Well, they were saved. And they would go where the people were at so they could preach the word of God. The more people, the more could hear the word of God. Well, notice the second stop they made. Acts chapter 13 and verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. So their second stop on this missionary journey was Paphos. And the city of Paphos was on the other end of the island of Cyprus. And here they met a magician named Bar-Jesus, or Elymas. Now, Acts chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. It says, which was with the deputy of the country. This would be this magician or sorcerer, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. He didn't want this man to hear the word of God. He didn't want the deputy to get saved. He was a Jew who claimed to be a true prophet of God, but he wasn't. He was in reality a false prophet. Acts chapter 13, verses 9 and 10 says this. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. He set his eyes on the sorcerer. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? See, this man was an enemy. Was he a child of the devil? I believe so. Whenever God does a great work, Satan tries to hinder it and stop it. And Elymas did not want Sergius Paulus to hear God's word. Now we see that God's hand came down upon this evil man in judgment, and he was stricken with blindness, according to Acts chapter 13 and verse 11. It says, And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Once again, just as I made mention about Herod, you don't get away with sin with God, especially when you turn your hand upon God's people. And this man, once again, when we think of this man, he was stricken with blindness. But this man was already spiritually blind. And suddenly, because of God's judgment, he became physically blind as well. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, it says, And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Do you know him today as your Savior? Ask him to come into your heart. And if you do know him, you need to be serving him today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. And I pray your blessings now upon those who have listened. May those who are not saved, may they trust you as Savior. And for those who are saved, may each one, Lord, serve you to their fullest.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.